I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, shut up.
The most important change that the Academy has implemented in the past 10 years is that Best Actress goes second to last.
Oh, at the actual show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they realize that's what matters.
That's what people care about.
That's what the people who are actually watching the show are
exactly
watching for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It used to be Best Director, and now that's before Actor, even.
Yeah.
Which, I think that's offensive. They should do Actor, then Director.
They should do, like, the National Society of Film Critics and do Best Foreign Language Film last, in my opinion.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah, or Picture, or maybe they do Documentary last, but Picture is never their last award. I think they do it before Director, too. Because it's like, honestly, Best Picture is sort of the most boring category, in my opinion. Because
by the time you get there, you know what's
going to win. You know what's going to win.
Yeah,
well, I mean, that's actually not true, just looking at last year.
Right.
But
that's a good point.
Woo!
But it's so much more fun to see, like, if your Roger Deakinses are going to finally win their Oscars in cinematography, or if brutalist Russian masterworks are going to win Best Foreign Language Film. Not that I'm even rooting for that, but, like, I have so much more invested in all the individual races, I think, because...
If Agnes will win her first competitive Academy Award.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, yes. Great place to start, I think. Like, for all of the firsts that are being
Let's
announced
introduce
today...
introduce ourselves
oh.
really quick.
Well, then, can I just finish the sentence? Mm-hmm. Agnes Varda received her first competitive Oscar nomination today. Thank you so much.
Faces, Places... on VOD March 6th, 2018.
Wait, that's after the Academy Awards, isn't
it? Is.
It? So that
it's
doesn't
like
help.
Two days.
She is the oldest nominee this year, 1 week older than James Ivory. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Hello, everyone. This is Movies IMO. I'm Ben Empey.
I'm Daniel Crook.
I'm Brandon Kirby.
Today is the day of the Oscar nominations. We've all been up since 5 a.m. and it is now 9:30 p.m. as we get rolling on this.
We're lit.
I actually was up at 6 a.m. because I was in a different time zone this morning.
That's right.
Yes.
Daniel started this day at the Sundance Film Festival.
This episode really should just be dedicated to your journey to sunset. Sunset?
Sunset. Well,
I pulled into taking
the words right out of my mouth. And I came into L.A. right as the sun was setting. And most of the day was north-south travel. And as I journeyed west is when the sun was beginning to set. I just got back. I basically drove straight here.
Very symbolic.
And I'll just say, as a result, I was not on the internet at all today. So I watched the nominations video and that's it. So I'm probably going to be catching up on some of these nominations as we go.
I wasted my entire day on the internet creating fire content. If I do say so myself.
I was pretty lit.
That's the thing
day.
To do if you've got access to the computer.
I've been pretty vocal about Phantom Thread on Twitter, but I have kept it
fairly reserved for you
on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And today
you kept it.
Today
you kept it small enough to fail, but now today the big sick.
Have you seen six-time Academy Award nominated film, including
Best
Picture?
Let's get this out of the way.
Every Phantom single Thread. Person that came in to meet my boss. Have you seen six-time Academy Award nominee Phantom Thread yet?
I just have to get this off my chest. I'm partly just being like a spoiled kid on Christmas who gets 10 amazing gifts but doesn't get like the motorized, like, you know, Range Rover that you can drive around the block on. I'm overjoyed about Phantom Thread's 6 nominations because I think we were all expecting 1, 2, 3.
Maybe 3.
Maybe
I think
3
tops, yeah.
I expected 4.
Because you thought Greenwood was going to get in?
I did.
I didn't. I mean, it makes sense. Like, this is the score that would play most into the Academy. Like,
yeah.
But, like, There Will Be Blood is probably the best film score of the last 25 years. Anyway, 6 nominations is not enough. Like, if they were going to go in and give it Best Picture and Best Director and not screenplay...
It's interesting
and
that
not
the
cinematography,
writers didn't
Paul
go
Thomas
there.
Anderson should have received 4 nominations today for cinematography, writing, directing, and picture.
Yeah.
I don't want to complain. I'm so excited that the three of us, we did it. We got Phantom Thread into the Best Picture and Best Director.
We did it, kids. I can't stop crying.
No one... I don't think anyone saw this coming. Director and picture for Phantom Thread. Nobody saw
it. It was right under our noses the whole time. I mean, I definitely have said on the podcast that and Ben pointed out this might have been because of the audiences I saw it with, but I did not think Phantom Thread was going to land. I thought
everyone I saw it with loved it, including old people, and I knew that Annapurna was only sending screeners to the Academy.
Yeah.
But I still didn't think it was happening.
Like, in terms of late in the game contenders, I thought Post was going to be more of a splash then.
Yeah.
And Post came out with two.
Meryl was probably the fifth actress slot. This close to getting one nomination. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In the, or I was going to say in the extremely loud and incredibly close position, but yeah. Max von Sydow actually got a nomination for that movie.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
Shall we start at the beginning?
Yes. So
let's start at the very beginning.
Go in the order of how they were announced.
Tiffany Haddish. This morning.
And so we're starting Caesar with the Ape.
Production design. Am I going to read them, or are we just going to talk about
them?
No,
we're just going to talk about them.
I'm sorry, nine. Why didn't Phantom Thread get a nomination for production design?
Yeah,
well?
that's
pretty wild. Okay, production design. Wow,
I can't
Beauty
believe
and the Beast.
I am surprised that
bad place to start.
I'm only not surprised that The Shape of Water. No, I guess I mean it makes
no,
sense.
No, I am too, considering it got all these other tech awards and not.
So it's Shape
design?
Of Water, Blade
no,
Runner, Dunkirk, Beauty and the Beast, Darkest Hour.
No, I'm saying that's the only one. The other four, I'm kind of like they're such VFX heavy.
Yeah.
Except Dunkirk, which is just naturalism.
Right.
So
yeah. Are we willing to admit that Darkest Hour got the nomination purely because of all the pieces of white paper they threw up in the air?
I haven't seen it yet.
Probably.
But
I mean,
sure.
some of the war chamber sets are cool. They look lived in. But like, you know, I've seen Upstairs Downstairs shit before. I've seen The Crown. Like, it's nothing new.
Love The Crown.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Shout
out to Claire
Foy's the Crown is great.
SAG Award.
She beat the Scientologist.
Mm-hmm.
Production design nominations are
they're
boring.
So stupid.
They're kind of boring.
I think, you know, we ragged on Blade Runner.
I think Shape of Water wins this category.
Yes. Well, I think, get this off our chest. I think Shape of Water is going to clean the fuck up.
I do too.
Yeah.
I think it might win, like, sound mixing.
I would love to see Sally win. At this point where we are, where it is clearly the front runner,
yeah.
I would love to see Sally also.
So my silver lining for Three Billboards receiving picture, director, like in my head leading before the nominations, like I had gotten used to the idea that Three Billboards was not only going to clean up in the nominations, but was going to win picture and actress. My silver lining was that just never happens. And we talked about that on our Three Billboards episode. Like the best actress winner is never in the best picture winner. And that's kind of cool, you know?
Yeah.
But now we have a chance for it to be for an actually good movie.
Yeah.
For Shape of Water and Sally Hawkins. But anyway,
really
production
don't.
Design.
For a jaw-dropping performance.
I mean,
Did I say that word right?
Jaw-dropping?
I think I said jaw-dropping.
Drawer-dropping.
It is
she
a drawer-dropping performance.
I don't think Sally Hawkins wins. I'm just putting that
I
out
know.
There.
I think that, I mean, Ben made this prediction earlier today. I think you might be getting a little ahead of yourself, but I think that it's more likely now than it was before.
I just want to throw my weight against someone other than Fran. And I mean...
Not Saoirse?
I feel like the 13 nominations
she's winning next year.
Means Sally's the safe bet. You know what I mean?
I still think Fran is going to pick this up.
No, for sure. I mean, the safe bet for an upset.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I think that's right.
Over Saoirse at this
point. I still
think
Saoirse has the advantage over Sally.
I think that...
Look at us trying to go in order and we go
immediately
to best
actress.
Okay, all right. Let's dial it back. Okay, production design, who cares? When I saw Beauty and the Beast...
I care.
And Darkest Hour, I wanted to kill myself.
Remember how drunk we
no,
were
you
seeing
didn't.
Beauty and the Beast?
Yes, I did.
You said you liked Darkest Hour.
No. I mean, when I saw the nominations.
Oh, yeah. And yes, Ben, we got very drunk before seeing
so
Beauty
I don't
the
remember
Beast.
The production design of Beauty and the Beast, really.
Sure
I just remember Audra McDonald singing in the final shot of the film.
While holding a dog. Mm-hmm. Whilst
so
holding a pup.
You blacked out the rest of it?
Mm-hmm.
I blacked out. Okay, great. Moving on. I had
Daniel
so much more
to
say.
Yeah. Wow.
What's there to say?
Well, now we'll never know.
No.
I'm taking it to my grave.
Okay, so
to my watery
a lot of repeats
grave.
Here. I was annoyed
everything
that Darkest Hour got a cinematography nod. I thought that is very, very boring.
Shout out to...
Wait, are we on... Oh, I'm sorry.
Cinematography.
Darkest Hour got a cinematography
I
nomination?
Know.
I'd like to shout out fan of the podcast, Jordan Baker, who has tweeted like once a day for the past week. Only 6 more days until Darkest Hour gets a cinematography nomination.
It's like, you can just imagine the DP like setting up the shot and before every single take yelling, "More smoke!" Like, it's just, it's so lazy.
And yeah, like the chamber where the papers get thrown, like that.
Yeah,
shot,
give me a break. Oh, and it's also like
the nomination.
You know what? I'm perfectly willing to shit on Darkest Hour, a movie that I think is fine.
Yeah.
I would venture to say it's pretty good.
Ooh, well, pretty good. The thing about Darkest Hour is it is across the board broad. Like, the Oldman performance is, like, overbaked ham. So many pieces of paper thrown in the air. Like, it's all just
Lily,
like, blah, 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 blah.
Lily Collins or whatever her name is.
Sea Cecil by the seashore. Lion's mouth.
His jowls literally jiggle.
He's like, do it again.
He's motorboating.
Do it again.
No more paper.
What I was gonna say.
I'm sweating.
But so is Gary Oldman in Darkest Hour. The Darkest Hour cinematography is also broad. I'm thinking about the moment where Churchill is like blackout drunk and about to give a speech, and he's like sweating and he's like marking up the speech with his pencil.
Oh, and the red light.
And then the red light that signals that we're recording goes on, and then all of a sudden a big red gel goes on top of all the lights. Like, yeah. And it's just like all in red. And it is visually striking, but it's just like
obvious.
There's nothing subtle. I don't even know if it's obvious. There's just nothing subtle about it.
Yeah.
The whole movie is just, what? I mean, for a movie that is so loud, it's such a boring movie.
What we do need to talk about,
I just want to say,
sure,
that the other 4 nominees are great.
Yes.
The number one
nominee is
Rachel Morrison for Mudbound.
First woman ever nominated for the Cinematography Award.
This category is so important this year because of that.
Mm-hmm.
When that happened, I whooped and I hollered.
It will be the Roger
Deakins
year.
Bed.
You know what? I'm not so sure.
I think Dunkirk still.
Dunkirk is just so fucking beautiful.
I might be so... So beautiful?
I mean, yes.
I'm just surprised to hear you give a... Not just a genuine compliment, but a big compliment.
It's fucking beautiful. Okay, I've been thinking about when we talked about Dunkirk last week for a whole week, and I would like to respond, and then I'm never going to say something qualitative about Dunkirk for the rest of
my life. Are we
allowed
to respond, or is this like your platform, your truth?
I mean, you can respond, but then I won't respond back.
Okay.
Yes.
The quote I wish I had handy, ready to throw, from the Bible.
To throw up in the air like the Darkest Hour papers?
Is, the mountain roared and emitted a mouse. It's, yes, the craft is amazing. Yes, it's beautiful, blah, blah, blah. It means nothing to me.
I didn't have that quote, but that's basically what I was saying last week. Okay. Like, when it comes to just sheer technical achievement and spectacle, I was so glad that Brandon had it on his list because it just has to get, you know, we can't
but
be...
But see, I would say that it doesn't matter because it's a mouse.
I don't know.
It is a mouse to me.
I think it's like a king rat.
Costume design.
No, I am not even close to being done with this category, Brandon.
All I want to say after this about this category is Phantom Thread and Call Me By Your Name were robbed.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Call
Me
By Your Name got like one nomination. I mean, I'm happy that...
Yeah.
I'm happy... I know, but that's
got
like...
4.
But when you think about what a sensual experience that film
is... Yeah, let's talk about that movie in November when it... And if the rollout was correct, it could have nabbed like 6 at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Sony Pictures Classics
screwed the pooch.
Yeah, I think they have
a bungle.
I think they have great taste in terms of what they acquire, and they're probably going to win foreign language film with A Fantastic Woman. But
I just
don't understand.
Do you think over Loveless?
I do.
Yes.
I don't think Loveless is the front.
I think the committee saved Loveless.
I think it's square.
I don't think the committee saved A Fantastic Woman.
Fantastic Woman is a crowd pleaser. Loveless, I mean, I think most people feel the way you felt about Loveless.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that's a front runner. I think it's Square or Fantastic Woman.
And even the Square, I don't really...
You guys haven't seen The Insult yet, but it's...
Oh, yeah.
Just like the easiest movie
but
that I've ever
interesting.
Seen.
But it's interesting. This category, the winners have gotten really good the last few years. We had Ida, we had Son of Saul, like challenging shit.
Yeah,
And
it usually is the best... film that wins.
Well, no. Well, it is now.
It's like back to
but
like
it used
the
to,
70s.
But it, when you get Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie, which we'll talk about next week.
Fellini movies.
But what won
yes.
last year? Wasn't it something?
No, last year it was...
It was The Salesman.
Which is a great film.
Perfectly respectable.
I mean, Tony Erdman should have won, but the Salesman is brilliant.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was just going to say, the Academy used to give foreign language film to weird, like, pandery, like, movies like Departures. Like, not great cinema, but stuff that everyone can just agree, like, oh, that was nice.
Yeah.
And they're making more audacious, bold picks as of late, which actually bodes well for The Square and that... We're still on cinematography. But, like, the Square might be able to have enough people who watch it and, like, I didn't totally get it, but I loved the scene where the monkey man is, you know, spilling champagne and jumping on the tables. And so that seemed like great art to me. And then you get people who are like, oh, I love its critique of the art world and the way that
it mingles with
capitalism and the 1% and how it's all sort of a big fucking joke. Like, you actually could pull votes from both sides. So maybe The Square is in contention.
Yeah. I think it's that or...
I think that Deakins is probably going to win. The reason why I said earlier that I wasn't sure is when I was driving down today and I had 10 hours in the car to think about this, I didn't know that Blade Runner got a production design nomination. Did it get, like, VFX or sound or something,
too?
Yeah,
it got a bunch.
I'm seeing now, it got a bunch.
It got 5 nominations.
Because I was wondering if Deakins was going to be the only nomination.
Right.
But actually, people saw the film and they respect the craft behind it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, this could be Deakins' year. That would be exciting. Yeah.
I think that is the most worthy.
Because the thing that's weird about the craft nominations is on the ballot, it doesn't say the name of who did it. It just says the movie.
Yep.
And so it, like, really has to stand
movie. That's why Sam Smith won an Oscar.
Right.
Because people saw the James Bond movie, and the last time there was a James Bond movie, it was Adele doing Skyfall. So they're like, oh, right, those are the really good songs now.
Right,
yeah.
And that's how Sam Smith became the first gay man to ever win an Academy Award.
Costume design. Beauty and the Beast.
Mark Bridges.
Yes.
Victorian Abdul. Stephen Frears. We've had this conversation of who is Stephen Frears and who is Stephen Daldry the other day, because Brandon didn't know which was which.
I got confused. Stephen Frears is making these terrible, like, right down the middle, like, historical movies
Stephen
now.
Stephen Frears has made 3 of the greatest films of all time.
My Beautiful Laundrette.
Dangerous Liaisons.
And The Grifters.
Yes. And we could even put High Fidelity. It's pretty fucking great.
And Philomena is good.
Philomena's delightful.
Philomena is not one of the greatest movies ever made.
It's a fucking
But it's
joy.
Lovely.
Once you get past the
and
first
And it's a gay movie, too.
It's delightful.
It is a gay
Don't
movie.
Don't forget, it's a gay movie. It, like, has my favorite things, gay and Covens.
Judi Dench.
Well, and Dame Judi Dench, of course.
Academy Award winner Dame Judi Dench.
I think Philomena is fine.
I love Philomena. I know, I can't believe that you don't like it.
Okay.
There are some amazing sick Philomena Burns in The Trip to Spain. You saw it, right, Ben?
I didn't see it.
But I remember you brought this up.
There's some sick Philomena Burns in The Trip to Spain.
I mean, all of these are obvious nominees. I'm happy. Phantom Thread should win.
I think Shape of Water wins? No. Victoria?
I have no idea. I think that Phantom Thread wins.
It's hard to say opulent usually wins. I think it is Phantom Thread.
It's opulent, it's a period piece, and it's volume, too.
Yeah, it is about fashion.
Think about, like, didn't the Young Victoria win Best Costume
Design?
Probably. So I think you're right. I think Phantom, because it is
The Duchess did. The thing about this category is it's honestly not just quality, it's quantity as well. Like, it doesn't matter if you've designed the best. Like, for Shape of Water, like, Eliza's uniform is so perfect. But there's, like, 3 costumes in the whole movie.
And it's not billowing gowns.
Right.
Yeah.
Aretha Franklin, beautiful gowns, dot gif.
Sound editing and mixing.
All right, so we've got all the same nominees here.
All 5 for the first time in the history of the Academy Awards.
Is that true?
All 5 overlapped.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. To me, that just means that people are getting lazy.
So here is I'm doing Dorinda arms.
I thought they were Liza directing air traffic arms.
No, I was doing Dorinda.
Dorinda arms. Clip, clip,
clip. Clip, clip, clip. I think there should still only be 1 sound award, and they award both the editor and the mixer, because the human beings voting don't know the difference.
Yeah. And every year they try in the presenting to explain how they're different, and nobody ever learns.
I think you have to just do best sound.
But here's, I mean,
award both.
If we're saying that we don't distinguish them because the voters are too stupid to understand the nuance of sound,
I don't.
How are they going to do much better if there's one category? You know, then I feel like they'll just vote for the loudest movie, and then
they already vote for the loudest movie.
But didn't Social Network get nominated in sound mixing?
Probably.
Well, that's a movie like that doesn't get nominated anymore, though.
The people that
if you were to combine the categories,
because the people that know what they're doing nominate, but then the laymans don't know.
The plebs
don't know the
that's
difference.
That's what the P and A and PAS stands for. Plebs.
Between, it's really easy though. It's sound mixing is production sound. Sound editing is post production sound. It's very simple, and they always like.
Oh, that's very easy.
They really complicate it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always thought the easiest way to describe it is that sound editing is the sound and sound mixing is the way that all the sounds come together.
That's not correct, though. It's the on-set sound mixer that gets the sound mixing award.
Yeah, but I mean, that's traditionally how the Academy explains it.
Yeah.
Right.
I just don't understand
why
that
doesn't land.
And that's
not who actually gets awarded. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Like,
I don't
that
know.
That explanation doesn't work for me.
That's fine. I just don't think that we need to play to the lowest common denominator.
I just think it would be easier. One less category. We'd end the show 5 minutes sooner.
Okay, best sound editing doesn't take 5 minutes.
All the same sound. People get up there. You don't separate compositions and lighting.
Not the same thing. Not the same thing. Composition and lighting, that all ultimately falls under the DP. Sound editing and sound mixing, those are two completely different departments.
That's true.
It's not the same supervisor. It's not the same vision.
That's fair. It is just the same effect on the
It's
viewer.
The same medium.
It is the same medium. I think it should be one award.
Well, I don't agree with that at all. I think we should be spreading the wealth. I think we should be encouraging people to learn a little bit more and believe.
I think we should combine them and add a casting Academy Award.
Yeah, how about that?
I think that
we
should
be adding a casting anyway.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that, I guess I'm being a hypocrite because I don't actually trust the Academy to make the right choice for that category either.
That's just how the Academy Awards are.
It's true. Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
Well, sound. So are we going to make predictions?
I mean, Dunkirk wins both.
I mean, that's not necessarily.
I think Dunkirk wins both.
Okay, great.
Would love for Baby Driver to win one.
It would be fun.
Sure, yeah. Maybe.
Would love for Baby Driver to win best editing.
Baby Driver makes more sense for sound editing.
Oh!
I agree.
What? Huh?
Sound editing. I think Dunkirk should win sound mixing.
Oh, all yeah.
Right, folks. What's next?
Visual effects.
Not nominated. The Shape of Water.
Which is very interesting.
That is. But kind of makes sense because it is
mostly makeup.
It's practical except for the fish.
Yeah.
And even the fish
is a lot of makeup.
Yeah.
Still, you'd think it got
with,
so many nominations.
I know.
They just throw them this as
it
well.
It would have tied the most nominations ever.
So
had it gotten this nomination.
I think that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 gets in because of that bullet dance number.
Oh yeah,
when it that red bullet or
that's
whatever
a great moment.
Dances through the
the
spaceship.
I'm actually kind of into Kong Skull Island.
I didn't see that.
I did not like that movie.
I thought it was. So
I just
fun.
Think this is the ape movie.
If the visual
it's
of
gonna be monkey
to
lose.
I think the monkey movie wins.
Yeah, I mean those visual effects are absolutely insane.
Yeah,
they should let Andy Serkis accept that award.
I'm going to pretend that Star Wars: The Last Jedi was nominated for visual effects for the red in Snoke's chamber. Since it did not get the production design nomination, which it should have. It was robbed.
Definitely robbed.
Ooh.
All right.
Film editing.
Oh, my favorite award.
Tanya.
My favorite award to talk about. I, Tanya.
With the
did the Los Angeles
nomination.
Film Critics not give I, Tanya their editing prize this year? I mean, this did not totally surprise me. To me, this guaranteed the Best Picture nomination that didn't end up
happening. I thought so,
too. Yeah, I was very surprised. So, and I thought, I was like, oh my god, is Baby Driver going to get it?
No, that just seemed like it's just a panache.
What's
fascinating
about this, I mean, I guess 3 of the 5 nominees are Best Picture nominees, but film editing has always been the category you look to see what's going to win Best Picture.
Yeah. But there is that one year where, like, Bourne Ultimatum wins.
Well, and you also have
wins
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo winning.
Doesn't have any correlation. It's just you have to be nominated for Best Editing.
Sure, right,
yes.
Right.
To win.
Yeah.
Which is why we are
Shape
down
of Water
to,
is going to win.
Yeah, it's a Shape of Water because it's the only one that gets director, editing, and writing.
Yeah.
How many noms did Dunkirk get? Seems like a lot.
I think it's 6.
Oh.
No, it was the second... nominated film.
Yeah.
Eight, and then Three Billboards.
I mean,
seven.
I don't think Dunkirk is going to win Best Picture or Best Director.
I don't either.
But I do think that this is a pretty strong showing for a movie that we've all completely written off in the big races. Just saying.
I mean, it's a very technical movie, and so it's going to clean up in the tech
this,
awards.
I mean, Hacksaw Ridge won this award last year. Let's not forget.
Right. Mm-hmm. A random, like, Baby Driver could win this year.
And, like, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo won because everyone knows that Fincher's editors are just the best, period.
Yeah. Didn't they win for The Social Network, too?
Mm-hmm. They won 2 years in a row.
Love that.
So, Get Out and Lady Bird not being in this category.
Get Out didn't get nominated.
No.
Which, that's the
death blow. That is surprising.
That's the most egregious. Fucked up. That Get Out is missing from film editing. Like, horror, like, is editing's key to that.
Comedy
movie.
And horror.
Yeah.
And they give I, Tonya the comedy timing. Yeah. I mean, that's also... I, Tonya is not a poorly cut film. Yeah. I mean, we talked about how we think it sort of drags at a certain point, so it would not be anywhere near my ballot. But it got the nomination because it's compressing, like, the narrative and that fake documentary footage.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it got the nomination.
And you're cutting between, like, different realities, basically.
That, yes, exactly.
It's just like... Burr, 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 burr.
It's just
why?
So much footage
to compress.
Is Three Billboards there?
Especially if, since it didn't get the Best Director nomination.
Who edited, like, that movie? Was it edited?
Of any, like, I get the other four.
Yeah.
I don't love three of those movies. No, I like Baby Driver fine. But I don't get why Three Billboards is
there. It doesn't make sense.
Nothing about the movie
that's
is edited.
Out slot.
Everything in that movie is too much.
I'm just
the
like,
writing is too much. The performances are...
I'm just like...
Like, the, well, Abby Cornish's accent is too much.
Part of one thing that Thelma Schoonmaker talks about, she's Martin Scorsese's editor, if people don't know who that is. She talks about that the point of editing is you pick the right take.
You know what?
Performance-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Three Billboards, to me, does not fit this bill.
I agree with that. Fun anecdote, I was listening to the DGA's podcast on my way over here, which a friend of mine has been trying to get me to listen to, and I just started
it. I didn't
know
they have one.
It's fantastic. It's just interviews from DGA screenings.
That's so fun.
But it's obviously with the director of the screened film, but then the moderator is always a different director. So I was listening to
great.
Steven Spielberg and Patty Jenkins on my way over here talking The Post. And Spielberg talks about how in the first meeting scene between Meryl and Hanks, that he spent an entire day on that scene, like, covered the hell out of it.
Mm.
And in the first cut, he used a lot of the coverage. And then he realized there's no need to cut when you have Streep and Hanks, like, going off one another. That's why it's all told in that single shot.
That's amazing.
Yeah. He was basically saying that, like, when you make a cut, you are editorializing, which is accurate. And he was like, I wanted the audience to, like, make their own choices. But also, the performances were so good. Like, there's no reason why you need to cut.
Yeah. Every editor I know says... They try to start with one, and you only cut if you have to.
Yes.
Like, that's most of their
method. That's why I was not a good editor in film school. Because
you want?
Yes.
This from this, and this from this.
I'd be like, I think we should use an insert shot.
Yeah.
Which is the worst choice you could make. Yeah, I mean, it's just baffling to me that Three Billboards gets in here and misses director. I was expecting that nomination, but I was also expecting it to still be the front runner after these nominations.
Right. Okay, let's move on. Makeup. Darkest Hour, Victorian Abdul, and Wonder. I mean, I haven't seen any of these.
I think Darkest Hour wins of Gary Oldman's makeup.
Even though I'm not convinced it's a good job. I mean, I think it looks like the waterlogged zombie in season 2 of The Walking Dead when they find a zombie at the bottom of a well.
Holy shit, he does look like
that's what he looks like.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
No, that's literally what he looks like.
It's going to win the same awards that the Iron Lady won.
Yes!
It's going to win what?
The same awards that the Iron Lady won.
Oh, God.
The acting award.
This is the
makeup award.
When you brought up Judy in Victorian Abdul and then bring up the Iron Lady, I don't know why, but my mind is going to Cate Blanchett and Elizabeth the Golden Age going,
I too can command the wind, sir! I say that every day.
Every day of your life.
Literally every day.
I think it's going to Darkest Hour. It's weird the Shape of Water is not here.
It is.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Anyway, we are now on the Leslie Manville Award for Best Supporting Actress.
Nice.
Yes, here we are. This was a very exciting category, except I'm upset personally about
Holly Hunter.
Holly Hunter, and yeah. I am also upset about Hung Chow, but I also understand that not everyone can get in. I'm very thrilled with who did get in.
Yeah.
I wish there was 7 slots.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen Downsizing, but I do...
I would have voted for Hong Chao over Octavia.
Love
Octavia.
Likewise.
She's yeah.
a great actor.
Can't complain about her ever getting a nomination, even if it's for the same performance.
She would...
Or for the same role, basically, every time.
She wouldn't have been in my top 5.
It's just very disappointing when you think about how Hong Chao was completely ignored on the Golden Globes red carpet. Like, and she has been, like, she was like Mila Kunis in that she got Globes and SAG. And she's been around. Like, she's been.
She had the Cameron Diaz and Being John Malkovich trajectory. She
That's a better
every,
example.
Every nomination except the Oscar.
Yeah. But the thing about Cameron Diaz doesn't get the nomination because people don't take her seriously.
Correct.
With Hong Chao, I mean, it's ultimately probably because she's in a movie that nobody likes.
Right. I think that's what it is.
But I don't know. The slight doesn't sit well with me. I mean, Asian American actors never get nominated for these awards.
And it's a bummer because she's truly amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think it was between her and Leslie Manville. I think they were competing for that 5th slot. Mm.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I mean, I think Phantom Thread broke late.
Yeah.
But I'm not so sure that Octavia, if people had seen The Shape of Water and Phantom Thread around the same time, I think Leslie would have gotten more votes. Because she's showing strength even getting in like this at the last minute.
Yeah.
Octavia, I mean, that performance has been around for months now.
Right.
She's frankly kind of lucky to get in, but also I guess it is to be expected because now the Academy just, you know, nominates her every time.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And I'm not complaining.
No, she's great.
No. It's a good category, but there's still
sadness. I should, looking at these nominees, you know, because Laurie Metcalf and Allison Janney, that's the main story here. But I'm thrilled to pieces that Mary J. Blige made it in at the last minute.
Yeah.
Mary J. Blige, a 2-time Oscar nominee as of today.
Yeah.
She's the first person to ever be nominated in original song and an acting category in the same year.
And
or at least supporting actress.
She's the first actor to be nominated for a film directed by a woman of color.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Which is very cool.
Which is great. And sad that it took 90 years.
She is the first performer to ever be nominated in this category for not saying a single word in her entire performance. And you're moved because of what's going on in her head. Oh,
I love her.
I love her.
I would like to say I've just accepted Allison Janney. And...
Yeah.
You know, I'm just... She's so good as in everything else.
No, I think she's...
No, I know. She's great in this, but it's just... I don't want her to win for this.
Don't understand... Brandon?
Well, it's like what you said. It's like... Allison Janney's going to do this again. Laurie Metcalf will not.
Laurie Metcalf's never going to be in a movie again.
Correct.
Right.
That's what I meant with that tweet. A lot of people took it as like a metaphorical thing. But really, I mean, Laurie Metcalf will not do a movie again, especially because of the way that the Oscar process is.
She has hated every second of the awards campaign.
She only wants to act. She's not interested in this part. She said on Marc Maron, "I didn't want people, and they assigned me people." She hates it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was
great
like...
interview, by the way, that Marc Maron interview.
And she's clearly just like... Probably immediately after Lady Bird, she was like, I had such a great time with Greta. I would love to do more movies. And now I bet she's like, nope.
And now I'm going to go
win
a Tony doing a Dolls House Part 2.
Yeah, she was like on her way to like rehearsal when like
she's doing
she was like
Glenda
giving
Jack.
Her...
Marion is dead. I'm Nora now.
I haven't gone back to New York since I moved there, but she and Glenda Jackson are doing an Edward Albee, so I will be
returning. Which we learned on the podcast.
I will be returning to the show.
Yeah, I mean... So many people have brought this up by now, but we have to mention it. This is going to be a year where the 4 acting winners are actors whose work I have loved over the years. And I would, like, any other year, I would be going, you know, wild. Like, hog fucking wild that Allison Janney is going to win an Oscar. Mm-hmm. Rockwell is going to win an Oscar. Actually, I don't know. I like Oldman, but...
I don't think I've ever actually seen a Gary Oldman movie.
He's, like, well, I remember
Tinker Taylor.
He's great in Tinker Taylor, but I mean... When he gets the Tinker Taylor nomination, the narrative then was that it was overdue.
See, in Dark Knight?
That's
right.
He's outstanding in
Dark
Knight.
Okay. I was like, wait, that's him, right?
I've always thought that he should have been nominated with Heath Ledger. But,
this is
you know, a conversation completely divorced of his spousal abuse. And then Frances McDormand, who I have gone as her for Halloween before. Like, I love Frances McDormand. Like, I wrote my college essay about Frances McDormand in Fargo. But, you know,
all of
not
Kitteridge got me through some of the darkest times of my life. I would just sit and rewatch it in bed while I was depressed. I've seen it so many times.
Al Kitteridge is one of my favorite things I've ever seen in my entire
it's
life.
It's the best movie of 2014.
It's incredible.
Anyway.
No, yeah, I completely agree. I love all these folks who are, I think all the SAG and Golden Globe winners will all four repeat at the Oscars. I don't think we're in for any surprises in the acting categories.
Wouldn't it be great if Leslie Manville pulled a Marissa Tomei? Or a Marcia Gay Harden?
I mean, chances are there's going to be at least one. And I think if there's one,
Metcalf,
it's going to be Saoirse over
We all
Frances.
Have a different opinion on this. I think
it's on which award Lady Bird's going to win?
No, or? On which, if there's an upset in the acting categories.
Where it's
you think
be?
It's Saoirse?
I think if there's one, it's going to be
you
Saoirse.
Think it's Laurie?
I think it's Laurie because I don't think Saoirse is an upset.
I think it's Daniel Day-Lewis if there's an upset.
Interesting. Ooh. That
would
could happen.
Love that.
It's his last movie. The backlash against Oldman is starting.
I mean, I don't know if it can be stopped.
I don't know either, but that's the only thing I can foresee.
Yeah.
Personally,
it'd be cool, cool if Manville surprised here.
It would. I just don't.
Anyway,
supporting right, actor.
Let's keep going, y'all. All right.
Christopher Plummer got this job 2 months ago. And good for him.
Yeah, I mean Christopher Plummer's. I love Christopher Plummer.
That's a crazy story.
But
I mean, it's pretty cool.
But but that's the nomination is for the crazy story.
Yes. Yeah,
it's a fucking bar anecdote. Mm-hmm. Like Christopher Plummer got nominated for an Oscar for doing a party trick, mm-hmm. basically.
Yeah,
and you know, all the more power to him. But you know, Stolberg didn't get in. Wasn't predicting him. He probably wasn't even in sixth place. It was probably Steve Carell for Battle of the Sexes.
No.
He got the Globe and the SAG nomination.
I don't believe it. I don't agree.
I don't know what to tell you. He got the precursor support. Stolberg was completely ignored. Hammer, I think it probably went Carell, Hammer, Stolberg.
No. I don't think Carell was
He
that
got...
High.
Okay, all right.
There's no love for that movie anywhere else.
Except for his Golden Globe and SAG nomination.
Nah.
I mean, there's no need to litigate this. He didn't get
anywhere else. Doesn't mean that the Academy doesn't love Michael Stolberg.
I'm,
you know,
they've never nominated him. They don't love Michael Stolberg.
That's true. He does get repeatedly snubbed.
Yeah, they don't love him.
I guess I just hear people talk about him all the time who like would vote for him.
Are they in the Academy?
Yes, that's what I mean.
Well, you know, cool Academy members. Then we should have them on the pod.
Not that I care how he feels anything, but like. It's fun to think, like, does Spacey know?
Of course Spacey knows.
Like,
Spacey
knows, but
watched
like,
at 6 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, okay, so do you think that, like, Spacey watched and is, like, super, like, just, like, brooding in his,
yes.
like, apartment?
Might, I think he is speaking to a camera that is not there in a South Carolina draw.
Like,
my nomination.
I couldn't even imagine how fucking pissed off he is.
It's so
funny. I love it. The same way that I love like the way that the MRA folks are up in arms about Star Wars Last Jedi. I am living for Kevin Spacey being upset about this.
Yeah. I can't wait to see the movie. I'm going to go see it now. So
I am seeing it, but I am still seeing it for Michelle Williams.
Sure.
Yeah.
I've only been interested in seeing it for Christopher Plummer.
I wondered if Ridley Scott was going to surprise in Best Director for the same reason that Christopher Plummer got this nomination.
Did not. No one likes him.
Okay, that's fine. But... You know, we just agreed, I think, that Christopher Plummer got the nomination because he pulled it out of a hat at the last
minute. I think director was too strong for him to sneak in.
All right, so... we haven't even...
No, we're still on supporting actor.
We're not even close.
We haven't even... We've only talked about one of them.
And it's the
okay.
least interesting of the five. Woody Harrelson is amazing. He shouldn't be here because he's not amazing in this.
Oh God, yeah, that Woody Harrelson one. I can't
say
believe...
he isn't amazing. Let's use a positive term and say he's bad.
Bad in this movie. He's really bad in this movie.
Bad.
It is a bit of a performance on a certain level.
The fact that he took Army's slot or Stuhlbarg's slot,
the Carell
or
slot,
one of the Call Me by Your Name slots, is horrifying.
Yeah, I mean, it's upsetting for a number of reasons. One being that the character is shoehorned into the narrative in a really stupid way. I mean, I think we talked about it on the episode, but the whole suicide thing and how that's supposed to carry on this emotional resonance. Yes, and you know it's appropriate because he's married to the other actor who's in a completely different movie. Although her movie is technically in space.
She's on a fucking different planet.
Can you read the text I sent about this earlier today?
Yes.
That there was no direction in this movie because Sam Rockwell is in a very good movie. Fran is in a fine movie. Then there is Seven Layers of Shit. Then Woody Harrelson is in a bad movie. And then The Seventh Circle of Hell. And then the movie that Abby Cornish is in.
Yes, I think Frances McDormand is in the unused dailies from Olive Kittredge. Or the film or the filmed rehearsals. Rockwell's great in this
movie. Rockwell's great.
It's tough because his character is one of the biggest problems with the film. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about this before we got on the mic, but... You know, the Three Billboards conversation basically comes down to, like, is it woke or is it not woke? Is it problematic or is it not problematic? But I also just don't think it's a very well-made film.
Same.
I think it's ugly looking.
The craft is bad. I think the writing's terrible.
The script reads like a first draft.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, Winston Churchill should have gone on with that fucking pencil and, like, crossed shit out of the Three Billboards script before they...
The script is literally, like, he read Save the Cat and was like,
"Well, I think
I'm going to do a spot... She's going to flip the beetle over. I'm going to keep bringing it up. She flips the fucking beetle over."
I don't know. I don't really have a problem with that moment. I mean, I won't go that far because McDonagh has written great films and amazing plays. Like, the dude doesn't need to read Save the Cat in order to write a script.
Yeah, but like, it feels like he did. It still feels like he did.
Yeah, for me, it just feels like someone who was completely unchecked.
Shit.
I think it was someone who was trying to write a story about Middle America and just didn't get it.
He overdid it.
He
kept
get
it in the oven too
the
long.
Issues are. He overextended what he knows about these issues.
Here's what he did, y'all. He kept the steak on the grill too long, cooked it well done, and you know who likes their steak well done and with ketchup on the side is our president. And this movie is a steak fit for the president, if you ask me. I mean, that's a little hyperbolic. I just wanted to carry out the metaphor. I mean, I think the movie is well-intentioned. I just think it doesn't know... I don't think it has the perspective needed in order to tell the story.
Now I'm just thinking about Trump eating McDonald's in his bed because he's worried about being poisoned. Sorry.
So,
all right, let's go to foreign language.
We did it. Willem Dafoe is my vote in the category. Rockwell is in second. We're in foreign?
I would agree.
Foreign language film.
All right. I think it's a real shame that In the Fade didn't get nominated. Not because it's a good movie, but only because then we would have On Body and Soul and In the Fade, two foreign language nominees that both use slitting your wrists in a bathtub in a really hacky way. And
oh,
and that's
God.
Not even really a spoiler for On Body and Soul, which I know you guys haven't seen yet, because...
I haven't seen In the Fade yet, either.
For both movies, it's not what you think it is. But I saw those movies at AFI within a day of each other, and I saw On Body and Soul because I had heard that it was good, female filmmaker, and it just, I had a feeling it might get nominated for the Oscar sight unseen. And then there's two pivotal scenes, there's one pivotal scene in each of these movies where a character slits their wrists in a bathtub, and then there's a deus ex machina that rips them back into life.
Great.
I'm excited to hear what you think about On Body and Soul, Ben.
Can't wait.
I mean, you too, Brandon.
You know, I'm just...
Maybe I'll like one of the numbers if I see it.
So, but you liked The Square.
I liked The Square.
Yeah.
Fine.
So you've seen four out of five.
I've seen four.
I've seen three out of five.
Well, I've seen three and a half.
Are you admitting to something here?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Say it loud, say it proud.
Oh, what film?
Say it loud, say it proud.
What?
I mean, I was never afraid of announcing it publicly. I just didn't want to tell you to.
Well, then say it publicly.
I walked out of Loveless.
Ugh.
Ben had less love for Loveless than we did.
I loved Loveless.
Listen.
Yeah, Loveless, more like, couldn't love it more.
What the fuck?
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Your life is literally the longest thing you will ever experience. And my life is still not long enough to watch the last hour of Loveless. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just never going to watch
it. Here's the thing about Loveless and why the last hour, specifically the last like 30 minutes, or I mean the whole movie, why it matters so much. It ultimately becomes an argument for a more empathetic society. Is the thing. Like it is a brutal movie. It is a hard watch. And it, I mean, you know, there's like the phrase,
glad
like
you felt something,
where movies like throw all this shit against the wall and sees what sticks. Like with Loveless, it's literal shit that they're throwing at you. You're the wall as the audience. But it's a political allegory about not just Putin, but Russian society and how everyone's become so cut off from one another and so unfeeling that, like for instance, the nonprofit group that looks for, I don't even know if you got to that part. That looks for lost children is more effective than the government because there's just very little interest in helping out your neighbor, and that's why this self-made group has to pick up all the slack.
I described it as being hit with the cinder block in the best way possible.
What I like about Loveless is how wet it is. There's just so melted wet. Snow.
I feel like I have
Tarkovsky movies for wet Russian movies.
Well, I mean, that must be an influence. And I just saw Stalker for the first time, mm-hmm. which is, you know,
very
probably
wet.
Probably the best movie I've ever seen.
Fecund.
It is fecund. It is moist.
It's such a moist film.
Damp. And I remember. Lush
you can always expect
green.
An academic to bring a bomb to the party.
Mm-hmm. I saw it on 4th of July at Cinefamily RIP, and I just remember just like sinking in my seat. I felt like I was sinking into.
The sunken
place. Into the zone.
Into the zone. Wetness. Okay. So we
into
need
the
to
wetness.
We need to talk about
The Insult is probably our winner here, right?
I mean,
or
no,
a fantastic
no,
woman.
No, I think it's a fantastic woman. But there is something I want to bring up is Foxtrot got snubbed. Foxtrot was one
which
of
I
the
predicted
snub, one of the bigger snubs. And
that would if that was nominated, that would have been your winner.
And in
just
the
bummer,
fade,
just like if Phantom Thread was nominated,
I thought In the Fade was not only going to get nominated, I thought In the Fade was going to win.
So let's talk about In the Fade real quick, since we're not going to get to talk about on the episode we're going to do about foreign language nominees.
Oh, right. R.I.P.
And you'll still see it. This is not a spoiler bin. But like watching In the Fade is like watching a movie made by somebody who read a film aesthetics textbook, and it's like, I can do this with the camera, I can put a camera here, I can stage a shot this way, and like does all of it. Like
it's a movie that's a lot all the time.
Let's put a camera on the car, and then the car will drive away, and then we'll never have a shot like that ever again.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
let's do a really still, methodic, long take of two actresses in a sauna, and then we'll never do that again.
It's three movies in one movie, and yeah, he throws
which I'm okay with.
He throws everything against the wall.
Yeah,
sees what sticks.
And I like some of it. It's just that, like, it ends up not having much of a clear vision to me for that reason. Anyway,
yeah. Okay, we need to move along. Okay, what's happening?
Doc. Agnes.
That's going to be Miss Varda, if you're nasty, and JR are going to pick up that one, I think.
Really? See, I still don't think so. I'm thrilled that they got the nomination, and I'm thrilled that Jane slid out probably to give them room, but I think something like... like Icarus or Abacus wins.
I think Icarus
like
is number two, but I think Faces Places was number two behind Jane.
That's how I've always felt.
Really?
Yeah.
And I thought Faces was lower.
No.
Have you met anyone who doesn't like that movie? Is the thing.
Have you seen Angelina Jolie?
That's the other thing.
You know?
Yeah.
Famous people are like promoting the shit out of it. We saw a Q&A where she was interviewed by Brie Larson.
Also, I mean... just consider the narrative that happens if Agnes Varda wins a competitive Oscar the same year she gets her honorary Oscar. Mm-hmm. That's the first time that will have ever happened.
Yeah.
And everyone loves her.
She's such a crowd pleaser.
Yes.
And she will get
she knows how to work the room.
I mean, I would be thrilled.
Thank Jacques.
And by work the room, I mean just like do her own thing in the room and everyone's so charmed by it.
Sit on the potted plant
outside the
Egyptian.
She will thank Jacques. You're right. Mm-hmm. She'll be like, the last time Jacques and I were in Los Angeles.
We... get to hear, theoretically, not 100%, but we're going to hear thank you to Jacques Demy and thank you to Ishmael Merchant.
Yep. And I think that JR is going to draw a little face in Sharpie on his bicep and he's just going to flex. And his bicep will do all the talking.
God.
He'll have his sunglasses on still.
Yes.
And his hat.
There will be Sharpie chapeau. Sunglasses on the bicep as
his
well.
His little chapeau.
I want to catch up with these other docs.
I'm really behind on watching these docs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've only seen Icarus, which is a very good film.
Mm-hmm.
I still think, as much as I want Face Places to win, I think Icarus wins.
It's a crowd pleaser.
I would really love it if Strong Island won, only because we played it at Outfest last year, and it would be...
And it's the first trans filmmaker to get an Oscar nomination, period,
correct.
I believe.
That's incredible.
Yance Ford, y'all.
Also, shout out to Last Man in Aleppo because my friend's the publicist on that. So.
Oh.
Applause. Mm-hmm. Original song? Are we ready?
Are Ben Pasek and Justin Paul going to win again?
I will kill myself. I think it's Stand Up for Something from Marshall because it's Diane Warren and Common.
I think that Mary J. Blige might win an Oscar this year.
So that she can win the Oscar?
Yes.
Very interesting.
I'm mostly just excited for Sufjan to come out wearing wings.
Yes.
Same. That's going to be...
With his biceps.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's going to be very exciting.
I'm
thrilled that Mystery of Love got in. I wasn't so sure that was going to happen.
I was pretty sure.
I knew.
Okay.
I mean, I wasn't sure I knew.
Oh, wow, okay.
No, I'm just
I was doubting.
I'm just being silly.
It's in the movie. Doubts. It's in the trailer. It's like one of the more recognizable songs of the year.
True.
It's why, I mean, this gets nominated over Visions of Gideon, not necessarily because the song is better, but because it is more ubiquitous
Correct.
At this point.
I agree. And it's in the movie twice.
That's right.
I think Remember Me wins.
Coco. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. You think that the Avenue Q team is going to win another Oscar?
Again, I do.
Because they won for, that was the same team.
Frozen.
Let It Go. Yeah.
I do.
I would love that. I think
I have no evidence.
Speaking of Let It Go, are we on the directing category yet? Can we talk about Martin McDonagh?
No, we're on
animated feature.
We're writing? Oh, Coco?
It's going to be Coco.
It's going to be Coco, and I will tell you, I was thrilled that Tiffany Haddish was so thrilled for the Boss Baby.
Mm-hmm.
She made that
and then Andy Serkis
and then she
the Boss Baby and she goes
and then didn't she like clap down by her waist?
She was real excited.
Yeah.
What time do you think Tiffany Haddish woke up this morning?
I don't think she slept.
3 a.m.
She was wide awake.
2 a.m. I don't think
you
slept.
Would have to have gone to bed at 4 p.m. and woken up at 2 a.m.
I'll just say it now. I think that it was, I mean, watching Tiffany Haddish pronounce Chalamet and attempt to pronounce Kaluuya and just...
Magic.
And Hallelujah.
Yes, and she's riffing the whole time, like brilliant little bits. That was the best Oscar nominations announcement video since Salma Hayek getting emotional over all of the Mexican representation in 2007. But I think it was pretty fucking cruel to put her up there and not give her the supporting actress nomination.
Yeah.
Andy Serkis gets to read War for the Planet of the Apes, which they knew was going to happen.
Right.
They should not have had her.
It's not like the ceremony where literally no one has opened the envelopes. It's like they have to make the graphics.
Yes.
And they have to make the videos.
They know.
It feels like they were trolling us more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the day before, after that announcement, we were like, oh my God, does she get in? Mm-hmm. Is this it?
The thing is that the Emmys do that more than the Oscars do in terms of nomination announcers getting a nomination. The Emmys have done that a few times.
Right.
But I don't think that there's an example that I can think of. Maybe someone knows and can correct me, but where the Oscar nominations presenter
got a nomination.
Yeah, is getting a nomination that morning.
I would have
I think
to.
So.
2 years ago.
Different from their movie being nominated.
It happened 2 years ago.
It did?
I can't remember who it was. It was a woman. It was one of the girls.
Did Taraji do it last year?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I think that's correct, actually.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm thinking last year and not 2 years ago.
But Taraji didn't get nominated.
Yes, she did.
She did not.
No.
For,
Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures?
Yeah.
Well, get the Google on the horn.
My memory is wrong, if that's correct. Oh, yeah, right. Nominated for one Oscar, which means Spender and Button.
Yep. Should be three. Should have been nominated for Hustle and Flow as well.
Oh, yeah. I feel like it was like 2 or 3 years ago, girl.
Yeah, that kind of sounds familiar. But the Emmys do it more often.
Part of me, I can't tell if this is right, but I want to say it was Emma Stone the Birdman year.
Oh,
I think
that's a great guess.
Because I know Emma Stone has done it, and I have a memory of the other person being like, "Congratulations, Emma."
I think you're right about that.
That sounds right.
You're right.
That
about
makes
that.
Sense. Oh, God, Birdman. Birdman won Best Picture.
Sure enough.
I love Birdman.
Excuse me, Birdman or The brilliance of ignorance
or whatever.
The ignorant.
I love Birdman. I mean, it wasn't my number one. It was my number two.
But, oh, wow.
I think Birdman is fine.
Birdman was... Boyhood was my number one.
Oh, that's wonderful. Mine was Selma, and I stand by it.
Mine's Boyhood.
Yeah.
Selma, baby. Grand Budapest, Boyhood, Gone Girl, Inherent Vice, I think.
I was Boyhood, Birdman, Whiplash, Gone Girl.
I didn't know you were a Whiplash fan.
I love Whiplash.
I love Whiplash. It was like my number four.
Y'all should know that my number one goal when we created this podcast was never to hear the word Whiplash.
I love Whiplash.
Uttered on the mic.
Do you not like it?
Oh, I think it's a piece of shit.
That's weird.
It's a big piece of shit.
No.
It's wonderful. Yes, it is riveting. Wonderful. It is raw. It is J.K. Simmons spitting. It's
that's
fire.
That's what he wants you to think.
No, it's delightful.
There is not a drip of sweat that is authentic in that movie, as far as I'm concerned.
It launched Supergirl's career, okay?
I hate that we're not a video podcast. Brandon just did such a wonderful face and finger point.
All right.
Whiplash is trash.
Play.
All right. 9-year-old
whip trash.
James Ivory.
Is going to
finally win an Academy Award and thank his husband.
God bless.
May he rest in peace. Like when Meryl Streep implied thanking John Cazale. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I've never heard it pronounced.
I've never heard it pronounced either. When did she thank John?
When in the
Deer Hunter?
In the Iron Lady speech, she says, and thank you to those dearly departed. And she almost starts crying.
Oh my God. I mean, Meryl and John are my favorite celebrity couple.
Correct.
It's the only answer.
There's a picture of them on the subway together that I want framed. I know and, the picture. To use as my wedding invitation should I ever get married.
So Agnes and Jacques Demy are up there. Mm-hmm. I think that Ted Danson and Mary Steenburgen are probably in the top 10.
Yeah,
nice.
They're a good one.
Ooh. My favorite celebrity couple is Angela Bassett and Courtney B.
Oh, Vance. Yeah.
That's a very good one. Okay, so I think Mudbound for adapted screenplay, that's very exciting that got in.
I think so too. Mudbound did pretty well. It got 4 nominations overall.
Yeah, I think Mudbound had a great showing.
I'm learning as we go how many.
I don't even mind Logan getting in.
No, here's what I think about Logan getting in. Eventually, a superhero movie was going to crack this category, probably. I mean, superhero movies have been nominated in the tech categories before. Mm-hmm. When a superhero movie was going to break into the big categories, it was Dark Knight won an Oscar, but that I think that's separate.
Yeah.
Of all the superhero movies to get nominated, I appreciate that Logan is doing its best to undercut the realities that all the other superhero movies live in.
Yeah. That excerpt from the script that was going around, which, where it describes this gritty, fucked up world we're in.
Yeah, I mean, my Letterboxd log back in March, whatever, that nobody liked, which was a really hilarious pun on Carol, was that it's the price of assault. And that's what the movie is. And you think about how many people get thrown off buildings or, you know, are in a building that is crashed to the ground in an Avengers movie. Like, there's just no consideration for physical violence and human toll. And Logan is all about that. And on top of that, it's an interesting piece of genre work in that it's, in that way, undercutting and subverting its own genre. And it's a Western, and it has elements of a film noir. Have you seen it?
No.
And I'm...
Really? I didn't like it.
It didn't stay with me. But I think it's a great film.
I think it's a fun pick. You know, Wonderstruck would be nice in there, but that's fine.
Would prefer Wonderstruck.
Yeah.
It's just a movie that I would not see.
But it could have been Deadpool, you know, last year.
Yeah, it could have been better off than
this is great.
Logan.
Logan is a serious movie, by which I mean it has something on its mind.
I was going to say congratulations, Mr. Helen Mirren, but that's the wrong.
I always get them. Director. I always get Taylor Hackford.
Taylor Hackford and James Mangold. I have no idea which.
James Mangold is an interesting case when you look at how his career started. He basically lost his career in Hollywood because Harvey cut up his movie. Mm. I mean, he was like a really promising up-and-comer. And I'm forgetting the name of his first movie off the top of my head.
I don't remember.
But,
he did Ray.
Taylor Hackford did Ray.
Fuck. He did Walk the Line.
Wait, didn't Taylor Hackford do Walk the Line?
No. Mangold for sure did Walk the Line.
Mangold did
Walk the
Line's
a great film.
I like Walk the Line.
I just
remember Reese Witherspoon won an Oscar.
Reese
Witherspoon on the bus, like overacting. I'm sorry.
Love Reese. Shall we move?
That's
to
before her ego was
original.
Broken.
I was doing walking.
Can I talk about original?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
You sure can.
Minus 3 billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Missouri.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Francis says it that way, too.
I mean, that's how you're supposed to say it.
Is it?
Yes. The Missourians I know say Missouri.
Oh, they do. Okay. Yeah. This is a chef's kiss of a category.
Finger by finger. Next 10.
I am thrilled for The Big Sick. I am sad it did not crack into the Best Picture like I thought it would. But The Big Sick, Get Out, Lady Bird, and Shape of Water. But the top three especially, like such personal... And Shape of Water. I'm going to Shape of Water too. They're all
talk about
so
a personal story.
Personal.
Yeah, Shape of Water is his 9-year-old's dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Love for the monsters.
Yeah, he may not have lived with the Shape of Water, but it's a story he's been trying to tell.
He's been living it in his imagination.
Life. Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely.
He has two houses dedicated to memorabilia about this story.
Yeah, Lakma had an exhibition of shit from his house. Mm-hmm. Just monster stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, the fact that those four, such a love, just... such lovely, I don't know, it's a labor of love. It's very great.
Sorry, I'm just thinking about a ladybird of love.
Would have liked to see Phantom Thread get the fifth slot.
Phantom Thread is baffling how that didn't crack in there. I think we talked about
this. I always thought it was more likely to get screenplay than, like, if it was going to crack a top category that wasn't Daniel Lewis, even above Leslie Manville, I thought Phantom Thread was likely to land in an original screenplay.
I thought so too, because he always gets in writing.
Yes, and I guess I'll mention this now rather than in directing because you brought that up. But another first is this is the first time that Paul Thomas Anderson gets recognized solely for his direction rather than his writing. Even Inherent Vice, which is a pretty divisive film, gets the adapted screenplay nomination. Yeah. Magnolia and Boogie Nights doesn't get the director nomination. Only once has he managed to get directing and writing for the same movie. This is the first time he gets a sole nomination in directing over than writing.
It's interesting.
It's pretty wild.
Which is great because I've always thought that the Academy didn't respect PTA enough because they looked at him in a way that we talked about in Fear about Greta Gerwig as like a writer first and director second.
Correct.
Which, you know, they're... I mean,
is just a thing they do.
Yeah, but I mean, they're...
I was going to write a blog on this, and this nomination fucks that up because I was going to write about how filmmakers who both write and direct only ever win Oscars for writing, pretty much.
And that's why this is fascinating.
It is fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does come down to the different branches.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in theory, he should have gotten both, and then he would only, like, win for writing. That's usually how it goes.
Well, Ben, I think you either said it in person or on the podcast, but you predicted that if Phantom Thread made it into screenplay, it would win. Mm-hmm. That all it needed to do was crack the top five.
I think that's... I mean, we'll never know now, but I still think that's true.
And in my head, I'm like, well, Phantom Thread is still going to win the screenplay because they're going to realize what they did and they're going to retroactively solve the problem. Duh.
It just
doesn't make any sense to me. Again, I don't want to sound like a spoiled kid on Christmas morning, but like six nominations, if you're going to go that far, it's not
enough.
Give
it screenplay.
It's also, it's like Foxcatcher getting director and not picture. And it's just like...
Well, my God, that makes no sense.
It's just
so
like,
weird.
Just, even if you don't like the movie from a statistical standpoint, it's so weird.
It's incongruous. It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. I think that, okay, so now... All right, I want to talk about this idea of we're going to give one to this film, one to this film, one to this film, specifically when it comes to Get Out, Lady Bird, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Yeah, it gets really tough.
So what's going to... Because screenplay is down to those three.
See, here's what I think, though.
Okay. Yes.
I don't think Academy voters think about that.
I mean, I think they do.
Because you don't know what other people are voting for.
No, I know, but it's basically the idea that everyone gets a ballot... Mm-hmm. And what are the most people going to say, like, oh, I want to make sure this movie gets something.
Right.
People do think about that.
Yes, but you can't be like, I'm going to vote for this, and I'm going to vote for this, and I'm going to vote for this, because you don't know what other people are voting for. So I think it does end up as just like, I think Get Out is the best screenplay of the year, period.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Academy voters think. No one does. Even Academy voters don't know what they think, because they're only one person. They don't have a hive mind.
It's not a hive mind.
But I do...
That's the...
But I don't think that it's so off base to think that someone is looking at their, like, let's say they've already filled out the ballot but haven't sent it in yet. And they're like, oh, wait a minute. I didn't give anything to Lady Bird. I loved Lady Bird. Well, I liked Get Out, but I also gave Jordan Peele my win in Best Director. So let me just change that to Lady Bird then. Like, I do think that there's a desire to spread the wealth.
Yeah.
Especially the last few years.
Yeah.
And honestly, as much as I would hate for Shape of Water to win, like, all the crafts, not because I don't like the movie. Like, frankly, I'd rather have it win those than anything else. But it would be kind of exciting to see a sweep. We haven't seen a sweep in so long.
Yeah. We've been in this mode of lots of splits and spreading the
wealth. I mean, Spotlight wins two awards. Moonlight wins, what, three?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I think we are overdue for, like, something like Shape of Water winning both director and picture.
And a bunch of other things.
I still think...
Production design, score.
I still think because Billboards is getting the two actor wins, I think Get Out gets screenplay.
Well, this is why I brought up the whole idea. Because now that Martin McDonagh is out of the race and director and Three Billboards, now is no longer a front runner in my mind. It's one of these movies that voters like and want to give something to it. Maybe it's an acting award. Like, if it had gotten the director nomination, I would have thought Three Billboards won screenplay. Mm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Are you following sort of my logic here?
Yeah.
But now I'm thinking if Rockwell wins supporting actor, and I think Fran still wins actress, but I agree with Ben that she's more vulnerable now than she was before. And I think it goes to Saoirse over Sally, but I think those two are really neck and neck. Anyway, this is all to say, if they're going to spread the wealth, I now think that Three Billboards is more likely to win an acting award as its consolation, which is a crass way to say it.
Yeah.
And so then screenplay becomes Lady Bird versus Get Out.
Yeah.
And
even when
I think it's Get Out,
even before today, that was my opinion. I never thought Three Billboards would win screenplay.
I thought it was. I thought we were all being very naive. Like the opinion that you held, I thought was very naive. Mm-hmm. Now I'm realizing I was just overthinking it. But
this movie's too divisive.
Yes, but it's also the sort of thing where people who don't feel strongly one way or the other, but thought it was fine.
Right.
There and people who, I just hate to sound like such an elitist prick, but like people who don't actually understand like how, I don't want to record this on mic, but basically the idea that like, I'll give it to Three Billboards because there were a lot of words in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't sound like reality. It sounded very writerly because there were so many adjectives. Like, I'll give it that. And I don't, you know, I know for a fact some people are going to listen to this who like that script quite a bit. I'm not trying to say they don't know anything about screenwriting. That's not my point. But my point is that...
I'll make that point.
My point is that people who are on the fence would be, I think, more likely... Like, if they didn't care about Lady Bird or Get Out one way or the other, they'd still vote for Three Billboards, I think, because it feels important. It feels very
writerly. For screenplay?
Yeah. Not anymore.
Oh,
I'm saying
okay. Yeah, because I think...
Why am I even going on this road?
I don't know.
What I'm saying is predicated on Martin McDonagh being in the directing race.
I still think I have always thought...
Statistics.
That everyone thinks Get Out is the most exciting original story they have ever heard in their entire lives.
Yes.
I think the new Academy thinks that.
Yes, that's what I mean. Like,
absolutely wins screenplay.
Yeah. I just think that's
it. I guess
it.
I don't know. I mean, just for consensus sake, I'll say Get Out.
I think there's a very real possibility
Lady Bird
that goes...
walks away empty-handed.
Correct.
Yes.
I think that is a very real possibility.
I think they want Jordan Peele on that stage in some capacity. And what makes the most sense to get him on stage is screenplay.
I think...
Yeah, now that Del Toro's taking director.
Yeah. Get Out just is... the right, like, it just feels like this is the writing.
Well, Get Out is just bursting with ideas, and on top of that, it is just a perfectly built piece of genre.
Yes,
yeah.
And we talked about this, I think, on the last episode, but it's a movie that is mostly told in microaggressions,
mm-hmm.
and that's subtextual language, and so that's just brilliant writing on top of it to not be saying.
I think, everyone just recognizes how brilliant the structure is.
Yeah. See, I would vote for Get Out because I would be wanting to spread my wealth between the movies I love. I'd give Greta Best Director. I'd give Phantom Thread Best Picture. Even though in PTA is actually my Best Director win.
Right.
If I was giving an Oscar.
If you were
then,
spreading the wealth.
Yeah, if I was spreading the wealth, that's how I do it. And then Get Out for screenplay.
So
and
I'm,
Abby
I
Cornish
that
would be my write-in.
I wouldn't
probably
end up spreading the wealth. I would vote purely this category.
I guess I just get really strategic when it comes to submitting a ballot, which I really only do for the film experience. But, like, last year I had Zhao Tao as my number one slot on Best Actress, specifically because it was a weighted ballot and I wanted her to shoot to the top. When she was not, I mean, she was in my five, but she wasn't in my top.
Sure.
And I would vote for Greta if I had an Academy ballot, even though I would think Paul Thomas Anderson did the best directing all of last year. Because Greta has a higher chance of winning than he does, and so by throwing all my weight towards her, I'm doing my part as a member of this group.
Sure.
Which is just, like,
I would have to go with.
I mean, that's my number one. That's the right way to do it, is to vote with your conscience. Like,
and I think
people like me are the problem.
Does.
But that's how I do it, nonetheless. Oh, and I just think it's great that the Big Sick got nominated. I predicted it in Best Picture too, but I always thought it was on the cusp, and I always thought there was a chance that it gets nominated for nothing. So I'm just thrilled that it made it into this category, which is probably its strongest quality.
I saw Kumail's tweet about it today, and he was like,
"Oh, what did he say?" Because again, I haven't been on the internet all day.
The tweet was something like, "Emily heckled me from the back of a diner during my stand-up set. We wrote a script about it. 12 years later, we're nominated for an Oscar." Like, it's just
beautiful.
I love that stuff. I fucking love it. Yeah, it's a bummer they didn't get a Best Picture, but there's only eight. I feel like it wouldn't have been that.
There were nine.
There were nine. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
yeah.
6.
Which, by the way, I also predicted that there would be nine.
I thought there were eight. I can't count.
Which I would have predicted 10 if Ben had not taught me on some episode.
It doesn't go to 10.
That doesn't happen.
All right,
Let's go next.
Let's pull this train into the station. Actor.
Our greatest.
No!
The greatest.
My tool can come
out of the movie star of all time receives his 8th Academy Award nomination.
You called that.
By a thread.
A fancy
thread.
But
he got it. He's there in a movie that I didn't see. I haven't seen. Did anyone see it?
No. No one saw it.
Which is kind of wild because I think this is a Nightcrawler table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brandon doesn't like it.
I don't like Nightcrawler.
What don't you like about Nightcrawler?
Many things, but we'll
just
get
tell
into...
me one.
Jake's. No, I actually do like Jake's performance. I don't like the script.
If it bleeds, it leads.
I only didn't
see it
because I missed it.
The Rene Russo Mexican dinner scene. What is that scene?
One of the best scenes
it's
of that
delightful.
Year. It should have cemented Rene Russo's best supporting
actor. Speaking of
nomination.
Great films of 2014.
It didn't work for me.
Okay. So Denzel got the nomination because he always gets the nomination. And
that's
people,
not true.
And you called that.
But
we
has,
both called that.
He has recently.
Oh,
sorry, I don't mean to be a bitch, but I was a little upset in the group text earlier today when you gave Ben all the credit. I have been predicting Denzel as well.
Just you steam ears, steam coming out of your ears.
I'm
on
just
the road.
Loud
I was
about
literally
it.
Angrily driving down the road. I mean,
I'm just very loud about Denzel.
I don't
Denzel.
Really, I'm not, you know, I'm not a big tweeter. I tweeted that. You know, I put it on the record. That's how much I was sure about Denzel winning.
I wasn't.
Denzel will always.
But hold on, I want to talk about this.
I'm sure about Daniel Kaluuya, and I'm very excited about Daniel Kaluuya. Okay, next.
Thrilled to pieces. But I want to talk about this idea of Denzel getting nominated all the time. Because...
It's new.
That's all I was going to say. This is a new occurrence.
But it was also Meryl wasn't always Meryl gets nominated.
Right.
And now she is. And we're at the beginning of Denzel's period of that.
I'm fine with that, frankly. But I mean, I don't know. I just think about like Great Debaters, for instance. Like that is an Oscar bait performance. That's an Oscar bait movie. He directed it too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that gets ignored. Stuff like that gets ignored. But yeah, you've got Flight, Fences.
This.
Ooh. Love Flight.
9-time Academy Award nominee Denzel Washington.
I'm fucking lit on that.
I just love him so much. Let's put it on this podcast now. I love Denzel so much. I think he can do anything that is put in front of him. He has never had a false note in his entire career.
Yeah, that's why they should have given him the prize last year. Mm-hmm. I was rooting
he
for
was,
Denzel.
I thought
yeah.
he was even...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I changed him on my ballot because I know that racism is a thing, but I was just like, he has to win. And I was like, until it happened that Casey won, I thought Denzel has to win.
He was
I thought he was going to.
So good.
It's such a bummer.
Okay, we
I'm not done on this category.
Okay.
So thankfully the best performance of the year is in the running. Do
yes.
we think there's a chance that Timothy wins?
No.
I don't think so either. Next. Psyched about Daniel Kaluuya.
Timothy just has his career made because he gets to have Academy Award nominee Timothy Chalamet
and so does
for the rest of his career.
And so does Daniel Kaluuya.
At 22 years old.
Correct.
I mean, and you got to think about a show like Black Mirror, which is now so thickly in the zeitgeist. Like, it's such a part of our cultural bloodstream that it's threatening to overtake the entire system. Mm-hmm. And Kaluuya is responsible for one of the foundational episodes of that show where people got
probably
to the
first my
place.
Favorite episode.
Same.
Of the whole show.
Was that from season one?
Yes.
The second episode.
That and, well, yeah, I would say like that and San Junipero, but they're extremely different. It's just that like my heart just exploded with Junipero. Mm-hmm. So Gary Oldman's gonna win this.
Yeah, as I said,
and I think he's
tonight,
gonna just eat a fucking turkey leg on
Daniel
stage.
Day-Lewis. Daniel Day-Lewis has like it's like 70-30 to Daniel Day-Lewis, but like that's a strong contingent. He could turn another 20%.
I do agree that it's more likely to go to an established actor like Day-Lewis than Chalamet,
especially because it's famously his last movie.
Right,
it's Daniel Day-Lewis who.
Dorinda Arms.
Blah, 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 blah. Daniel Day-Lewis. Also one of our greatest actors.
Would love it if he won and went on stage and said, "Frankly, I've just been admiring my own gallantry for calling it a day after this film." I love that call. I hope that happens.
Pretty good.
That's his acceptance speech.
Pretty good. Remember when Meryl announced Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln and she didn't, she had already read the envelope because she's Meryl? Do you remember this?
No. Yes.
They go to, you know, the clip reel at the Oscars and then the clip is over and she's like, and the Oscar goes to Daniel Day-Lewis.
She already opened it.
since we're on the topic of Lincoln, we'll just never have a chance to bring this up again unless I decide to bring up Lincoln.
We'll do a
every
Lincoln
episode. Are you kidding? Can we do a Lincoln episode for my birthday?
Sure.
Oh God.
Great. I think we should all get to do a birthday episode.
Oh, that's fun.
Cute.
But just on the topic of shaky Oldman jowls and I too can command the wind, sir. One of my favorite things in Lincoln is I literally just spit.
He just motorboated his way to this.
I motorboated my way to the Academy. In Lincoln, Brandon.
I just broke my tooth on my wine.
This is so beside the point. But in Lincoln, when they're debating the 13th Amendment on the House floor, there's one point, I think when Tommy Lee Jones calls out one of the racist Democrats by saying, like, "You are more lizard than man." But then one of the Republicans, like, I think we get, like a swish pan over to the, or to the Democrat, rather. We get a swish pan over to the insulted Democrat, and he just goes, sorry.
Oh, my.
He goes, "How dare you?"
I love a good "how dare you."
This is so good.
How dare.
Okay. Thank you for letting me
okay,
share.
Okay, after how dare. Can we move on to the fact that Francis's performance does not change? As a character, as a human being, I think Mildred is the same person fundamentally at the beginning of the film than she is at the end of the film.
That's part of the point. I mean,
know, but I don't think that that's what I would reward acting for.
I think that the performance reveals shades. I really do.
I know you do, and I know I don't.
Yeah, and I don't want to commit this to posterity. I find all the Mildred problems are more the script's fault. I think Frances is working her ass off. She makes scenes like when she runs into those deer work whenever it's on her face for me.
Yeah.
The conceit is silly and a little hacky.
I feel nothing.
Yeah, that's fine, Ben.
I love Francis.
Quote, "All about Eve, I detest cheap sentiment." That's how I feel about Francis in this film.
I am rolling my eyes.
I think Francis did what she could with what she was given, which was not a lot.
I think
I think that she was very satisfied with the script.
I think so too.
Yeah.
She's very proud of this movie.
She is. The way she was bopping around during the SAGs, I was like, I wish you were less proud.
I know.
I really wish you were less proud of this. But, you know, I'm fine if she
still
wins.
Still a fan. I almost, I may have mentioned, I know I've already said it on this podcast, but I might have said it on another one. This past year, I was going to go as Frances again for Halloween in her all-denim ensemble on the Venice red carpet for 3 billboards, but I couldn't find the right baggy jean. And now I've just been wondering lately, if I had found the right baggy jean and I had gone as Frances essentially in 3 billboards, how would that sit with me?
Yeah.
You know? Months later.
Yeah.
I was in Park City on Saturday, so I didn't go to therapy. So I'm just so using this opportunity. This right. Yeah. How would I have felt about that?
Something I was thinking about that is just, like, stupid, but I still want to say it, is that if you were born when Frances won her last Academy Award, you'd be able to drink by the time she gets her second. It's 21 years, exactly.
Damn.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
I know.
I am thrilled for her. I really am.
It's
just
weird
because,
like, Fargo is something
movie
that I remember winning Oscars.
Yeah, how much fun would that be?
Oh.
So I'm still stuck on the 21-year-olds who were born the Fargo year, and I'm just thinking about Francis in the police car. I just don't understand.
Anyway, Margot Robbie is sensational.
I'm sorry. I don't know who that is. I know that Margot Robbie PGA was nominated for an Oscar.
Margot Robbie, producer.
But I'm not sure who Margot Robbie is.
Margot Robbie, the actor.
I only know Margot Robbie PGA.
I know Margot J. Robbie Esquire PGA. That's the only Margot Robbie I know.
So there were no surprises in this category.
No, this is the most...
It was the most locked in.
Let's do exactly what we thought we were going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nominate
Meryl's good.
I think it actually would have been upsetting to me if Meryl had not gotten nominated.
For this performance?
Exactly, like her best performance in ages. Like,
yes, it would have been.
And I am sure that there have been some people on the internet today being like, enough already. Mm-hmm. Like, I love Meryl too, but, you know, Jessica Chastain should have been nominated, or Daniela Vega should have been nominated, like, or someone else should, Diane Kruger. Like,
no.
I'm listing off all the people who didn't have a prayer getting nominated. Whoops. But if the Academy was going to give Meryl nominations for Into the Woods, for Florence Foster, Fuck Yourself, and then for not give it to her
August
best performance?
Osage County.
Oh, who could forget?
She needed to get this nomination to make up for the fact that she got nominated for all the other garbage.
The Academy needed to give her this nomination in order to prove that they're paying attention.
Yes, and not just giving it to her.
But because if they hadn't, it would be like, oh, we only like Meryl now when she's going full Oldman Ham, when she's motorboating. And a motorboating Meryl.
Motorboating.
In her caftan.
Blah, let's do it. Let's publish.
Don Gummer getting motorboat.
She should have been nominated for Ricky in the Flash. All right, can we?
Name
okay, best director, which is my second favorite cat. No, actually,
this is my favorite category.
This is my favorite.
This is the best category.
It's stunning.
It is truly incredible.
It is a sight to behold. Daniel knew all along. Jordan and Greta were both getting in. I was not a believer.
Yes.
Because I just assume everyone is a racist. Well, a sexist.
To that I say, Vicky Creeps.
Yes.
I mean, I had my doubts too. But toward the end, especially once there was the big outrage after the Globes, I was like, that's when I was like, they're both going to get in. And especially after they both got the DGA, I was like, they're both going to get in.
I think that played a part. The reason why I've always thought they were going to get nominated is because people love those movies so much. I mean, The Post, I'm just trying to think, like, Spielberg, McDonough, who else did we think was going to get nominated? Well, I didn't ever really think Luca was going to get nominated.
Craig Gillespie.
Sean Baker.
I mean, I'm positive that I must have said on this podcast that I thought Luca was going to get nominated. But
I always thought he was on the cusp. I never thought Sean Baker would.
But Call Me By Your Name, purely for, like, Carol-esque reasons, was a movie that probably was never as much of a front runner as we all thought it was.
Right.
And for that reason, Luca, who was definitely on the cusp, but, like, was probably never in the assumed five.
And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people do feel like, oh, well, we did it to Moonlight last year.
Yeah.
Which is a dark truth that we have to accept.
Yeah.
But it is overall a stunning category.
It's a tight five.
I mean,
and I have to say, I mean, I'm thrilled.
Oh, and the Oscars are a tight 90 this year.
Yeah, 90. The number 90.
They're the 90.
Ooh. Hopefully, 90. The 90 is tight. If the number 3 is involved in that tight 90, the 90 shall not be tight.
God damn it.
3 billboards.
God damn it.
It took me a minute.
Oh, God. I saw a billboard today on my drive down the I-15.
Was there 3 of them?
No, it was a red billboard, and it was a billboard advertising company, and the text says, like, this could be a better billboard. And I wanted to take a picture of it so bad because that to me encapsulates, like, the best director feel. Like, there could be a better billboard. For instance, Paul Thomas Anderson.
For instance. Paul.
Yeah, Paul. It's just very exciting. I mean, I feel like I'm still pretty lit, but I did my celebrating about Greta Gerwig getting nominated at 6:30 this morning.
Yeah.
Same with Jordan Peele, same with Paul Thomas Anderson. Like, it's just such a nice feeling to already be taking it for granted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a reason we're not popping champagne and, like, using or, like, blowing into streamers right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're all used to it already.
It's just
so nice. It's nice when things work out the way they should.
Yeah.
I say this about like six different people, but greatest living filmmaker, Paul Thomas Anderson.
I'm with you.
It's just so exciting. Yeah. It's a tier. The tier is Agnes, Paul,
Marty.
Todd, Marty, Claire, Hanukkah, who I have to give a last name to because you wouldn't know who Michael is.
Michael.
All right, so we've got one category left, and this has already gone on about 30 minutes longer than we thought it
would.
Yeah,
this is going way too long.
We're okay. Chatty bitches.
Well, I just want to say, before we go into the last category, is I went to bed last night thinking we were going to wake up to just miserable nominations. But
three awards, more like pleasantly, nine nominations.
The pleasantly surprised. What am I saying? We're pleasantly surprised at these nominations. It's great. There's nothing really that I have to complain about.
I mean, do I want Foxtrot in Best Foreign? Yes. Do I want Get Out in Best Editing? Yes. But like Jordan Peele, Greta Gerwig, Paul Thomas Anderson, and Guillermo del Toro all got nominated for a Best Directing Oscar. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I don't have a problem with Christopher Nolan getting nominated because it's overdue.
Yeah, he's never been nominated before.
That's
cool.
I'm fine with the Dunkirk.
Oh,
Interstellar is a better film.
Yeah, to be fair, though, I'm not saying it because of the quality of Nolan's work. I'm saying it so that all the film bros can shut the fuck up already about how Nolan's ever been nominated.
He's nominated now. Shut up!
I'm being facetious. It's a bit of both. But we will never hear that again, guys.
Congratulations to IMDb on their best director.
Who tweeted that?
Matt or Spammer.
So funny.
I don't know how to say his last name either.
Hi, Matt. Are you listening?
Well, I would say this is a test to see if he's listening.
Yeah.
He can correct us. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Best Picture, the nominees are Darkest Hour.
Don't say that first.
I used to be predicting...
Call me by your fucking name.
That, for some reason, that's last on the LA Times list. Oh.
Wow. Homophobes.
True.
I mean, they put it at the bottom, which, you know, it's kind of witty.
Also...
Timothée Chalamet.
Okay.
Bottom A.
Has a gay movie... ever nominated just the bottom in the acting category? No, this is important.
I'm not dismissing it. I'm just laughing.
It's never happened. A gay performance.
You don't think Harvey Milk was a bottom?
Oh, okay. That's fair. I didn't think about that.
What are other...
Brokeback? Only the top gets nominated.
They were both nominated.
Jake was?
Yes.
Jake was.
We have a bottomless well of bottoms in Academy history.
In Moonlight, they nominate The Straight.
True.
It's just, it's very rare.
I mean, we don't know if Trevante Rhodes would have been a top or bottom, though. He's never had sex.
I bet he'd be a nice both.
I mean, he wasn't nominated, though, so it doesn't matter.
But he would have been most likely to be nominated.
I'm losing my English language skills as we go along. My brain's melting.
Baby just motorboated out.
Best Picture nominee, Phantom Thread.
Yes.
That's all I care about.
I'm losing my mind. Okay,
it's crazy to me.
It's a great lineup, except for three fuck you, fuck billboards, fuck.
Four movies in my top 10.
And Darkest fucking Hour.
Are nominated for Best Picture.
Really?
Two more that are in movies I love, or like a lot, also nominated. And then...
Dunkirk.
And then there are three others. One that I respect. We'll say I respect
one, and one of which you haven't seen.
I've decided I like Dunkirk now that Three Billboards has happened.
Everything's relative, right?
Mm-hmm. I love that change of heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's sort of how I feel about The Shape of Water. I mean, I was the, you know, grumpy guy on that podcast, and I'm kind of looking forward to it winning Best Picture.
Yeah, I'm much more keen on it since the PGA announcement, and there's no reason why.
I think actually hearing it announced, it just breathes a sigh of relief.
It's just comforting, and I love Guillermo, I think that he deserves this recognition.
Well, I think I said it when we talked about The Shape of Water, but, like, does all this movie work for me? No, like, not at all. In some ways that, like, I just can't get over. But do I love the idea of an outsider story like this from a fucking freak like Guillermo del Toro? And I say that with all the love.
Yeah.
Do I love the idea of his twisted romantic vision winning Best Picture by the most mainstream awards body there is? Yes, validate
Very
that.
Exciting.
Validate that narrative.
The more I think about it winning Best Picture, the more it like makes sense as, like you said, an outsider story.
Even though it's so on the nose.
It's a timely movie.
Mm-hmm.
In its own unique way. Like, it is, in its own way, a little bit woke, if you're looking for that woke winner.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a little on the nose, a little on the gills, but, yeah. You know, you got the gay character, you got it's the just black like, he's woman not character, you got the
trying
fish man
to
who's
make
being tortured by the government character.
Psychologically rich drama.
Well,
he's...
I mean, I think... Yes and no, but I take your point.
Yeah. Annette Bening... Yes and no.
He's Annette Bening, by the way. Film
he's
stars
trying
do
to
not
tell
die in Liverpool.
A story.
Oh, fuck, I need to see that movie. What?
I just think Guillermo is trying to tell a story. That's always... Yes. His, and he's into fairy tales.
Yes.
And fairy tales are very on the nose.
Yes.
And that's what he's interested in.
Yeah. I think it's a worthy winner.
I do too. It would be my number 5 on the preferential ballot, but I would put it there.
Yeah.
Which means something because you can leave them off and it hurts the film.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Yes.
It hurts them.
It does.
Classic Scorpio to point out the way that to not say anything would make it hurt the most.
Correct.
Nice. Okay.
And that's where I would stop. I would do my top 5 and
Ben,
then the other 4 I would
you're
not.
In charge of this episode, but
oh,
I
do you
will
want me
note
to wrap
that
it up?
We've been talking for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And so. I could keep talking, but I'm just, at this point, I'm just trying to not let myself say anything.
Also,
Phantom
Sally
Fred.
Hawkins does some incredible underwater acting in Paddington 2.
She does. Mm-hmm. I want the still of her underwater with Paddington, and I was going to screen, I was going to caption it, Shape of Water 2017.
Correct.
But you can't find that.
This bear fucks.
This bear.
Oh, no, the bear does not
this,
fuck.
This bear walks ladies across the street.
The guy
this
who,
bear will walk your groceries
you
out
You open
your
some
car.
Marmalade and you got yourself a party.
The bear, the sexy Brit two voices?
Ben
Whishaw? Fox.
Ben Whishaw? Have you seen
ben
that picture
Whishaw
of him, like,
Fox.
Covered in oil from when he was doing the Crucible? It's the most beautiful, sexy thing I've ever seen in my life.
Because it's my name!
Because it's my name. Molly's Game, future Academy Award winner for Best Adapted Screen.
Molly's no! Name. Why would you say
call
that?
Call her by her Molly's name.
Because I like trolling, okay?
What? Guys, it's so late. Where all right. am
oh,
I?
Oh, it's 11 o'clock. Wow.
This is Movies IMO. My name is Ben MP. I'm rooting for a lot of movies that are not Three Billboards. I'm rooting for literally every movie that is not Three Billboards.
Where can we find you on the
oh,
internet?
Oh, you can find me on the internet at Real Todd Haynes. I'm usually stirring some shit up, telling people that they're stupid, and tweeting positive things about Phantom Thread.
I'm Brandon Kirby. I teared up this morning when Jordan Peele and Greta Gerwig's names were announced for Best Director. You can find me on Twitter at BK Kirby.
I'm Daniel Crook. I'm on the internet at Daniel Crook with 3 O's. And we have about 6 weeks until the Academy Awards, which is going to pass in excruciating real time, like Sean Thielman. And I'm rooting for Chantal Ackerman in the Best Director category.
I was going to bring up Sean Thielman if in my sign-off, but then I didn't.
Oh, okay, great.
No, I mean, in what has already passed.
I was going to feel like such a shit if
not,
you weren't going
to
say
no,
it.
No, I wasn't. I had already decided not to. Yeah. But anyway, this has been Movies IMO. You can find us on Twitter at Movies IMO. Please follow, subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. We're on your podcatcher of choice. Let's take a moment to just visualize what would happen if Greta walks up to the stage and have a nice night.
Oh my god, I'm gonna cry.
Moment of silence for Martin McDonagh, please.
Oh, fuck him.
The winner is Jane Fonda.
Thank you. Thank you very much, members of the Academy, and thank all of you who applauded. There's a great deal to say, and I'm not going to say it tonight. I would just like to really thank you very much.
Hold up.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.